Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Wanted to mention as we begin our Easter celebration this morning that the entire worship service liturgy is found contained in the liturgy worship bulletin handout. We open our service with prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may repent of our sins, believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome once again in the name of our Savior Jesus, our risen Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday. We pray the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today we come together to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Let us draw near to him in worship and in praise, in our thoughts and in our prayers. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Upon the hill of Calvary, the cross stands empty. Morning light breaks upon the tomb. As we come before our God and King on this Easter day, let us confess our sins. Lord God, I humbly come before you. I confess that I am sinful in thought, word, and deed. I daily fail to do what you command and continually do what you forbid. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I believe that for the sake of Jesus, my Savior, you will have mercy on me. Upon this, your confession, by Christ's command and authority, I assure you that your sins are forgiven. The vacant cross and the empty grave are God's signs to you that he has accepted the sacrifice of his one and only Son. Whoever believes this simple truth of Scripture has eternal life. Well, glory and praise be to our gracious and merciful God. We'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you've overcome death and opened the gates of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated. First of our scriptures on this Easter Sunday is found recorded in the what's oftentimes referred to as the Great Resurrection chapter of the Bible, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. We read verses 50 to 57. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So far, the first reading. And in our Easter service this year, we will be having several lay readers present the story of Easter in six readings, the first being from Mark 16. So our readers may come forward.
More good news about Jesus' victory for us over sin and death. It comes from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, the first seven verses. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." And now we join in singing the first verse of hymn 466.
Why are you weeping? Our second reading is from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and she wept. She stood down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. We join in singing hymn 466, verse 2.
Our third reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 through 24, and Luke writes, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together all of these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." We join in singing hymn 466, verse 3.
Our fourth reading continues in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 to 35. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And that he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. We join in singing hymn 466, verse 4.
Thank you.
Our fifth reading continues in Luke chapter 4, verses 36 to 43. Now, as he said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. We join in singing hymn 466, verse 5.
Our final reading continues in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 49. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And now let us arise and join in the confession of faith, the Easter Creed, as printed on page 3 of the worship bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, Lord of lords and Savior of the fallen world. I believe that he is the Word made flesh, who came to earth to redeem all sinners. He was born under the law to fulfill all of God's commandments on my behalf. He was crucified at the hands of sinful men and endured all the punishment that I and all sinners deserved to fully satisfy God's justice. He died and was buried. I believe that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead, as the prophets foretold, and as he himself promised, proved by the inspired scriptures and by many eyewitnesses. Jesus' resurrection shows that he is God's Son, that he completed his mission as the world's Savior, and that he has triumphed over death, our last great enemy. By his victory, Christ has become our forerunner, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Because he rose, I and all who trust in his redeeming work shall rise on the last day to inherit a life of glory in his eternal kingdom. For he has promised me, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. Next hymn. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our text on this Easter Sunday is recorded in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 5 to 7. The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So far the text. Dear fellow redeemed, he's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He opened death's prison, the incarnate word. Break forth, hosts of heaven, in jubilant song, and earth, sea, and mountain their praises prolong. Truly have reason to break forth in jubilant song on this Easter morning and to spice up our worship with a plethora of alleluias. It's true, there have been other moments in the history of God's people when they've had reason to break forth in jubilant song. Think of Noah and his family when they disembarked from the ark after having been tossed over the waters for more than a year. Think about what relief they must have sensed, what have washed over their souls, no pun intended, when the waters of the flood had receded and they set foot finally on dry land on Mount Ararat, probably kissed the ground. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord, praising him with a burnt offering, which wafted up to God in a sweet-smelling aroma. Or I think about the Israelites after those long years of Egyptian captivity when they stood on the banks of the Red Sea, the water stretching out for miles in front of them and Pharaoh's armies bearing down from behind, and God then divided the waters to make a highway, enabling them to cross through to the other side safely while Pharaoh's armies got drowned. No wonder they broke forth in singing to God a jubilant song, recorded almost a whole chapter's worth in Exodus chapter 15. But Easter eclipses in significance all other monumental days in the history of God's people. Why? Well, because the events of Easter, they affect more than just a single family or a certain group of people. They hold significance for all people of all times and places, and they hold meaning both for this life and the next. Today we ask the Lord to pour out his blessings upon us as we consider the blessed, highly significant Easter truth, Christ is risen. Four things we're going to note. First, let's note how that Christ's resurrection is our assurance of God's forgiveness. Why, after all, did Christ descend from earth to have from heaven in the very first place? It was so that he might offer himself to God for a sweet-smelling aroma for the sins of the world. And allowing those wicked men to crucify him, he was offering a perfect, one-time, all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of every human from the time of Adam and Eve to the very end of the world. When he cried out right before expiring, "It is finished," Jesus was bearing witness that God's anger over sin was now satisfied fully. Think of it, friends. Through faith in the risen one, God has declared you perfectly blameless, innocent, and guilt-free. You're more free than Noah and his family when they climbed out of the ark. More free than the Israelites when they crossed over to the Red Sea's eastern shore. All your sins of commission and omission, of thought, word and deed have been erased from God's ledger. You now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also you have access by faith into this grace in which you stand, and you may rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jesus said, "A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Truly a cause for jubilation on this Easter morning, wouldn't you agree? The second place, let's be reminded how that Jesus' resurrection proves something very important. He's God's Son. You recall from the Passion history that this was the main charge his enemies levied against him, that Jesus, whom they regarded as a mere man, claimed to be the Son of the Most High God. Considered that the height of blasphemy, a horrible desecration of God's name, grounds for having him executed. Scrutinize this claim of Jesus. If someone were to ask you, how do you know, why do you believe that Jesus is truly divine? On what basis do you confess, like in the Nicene Creed, he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God? Answer: because of the wonderful evidence that God himself has provided us in his word. Like when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce that she was going to be the mother of a baby. He said, "The Holy One to be born will be called Son of God." When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, of course you remember what the voice of the Father said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And that's why Jesus could affirm along the course of his ministry, "I and the Father are one," and base the truthfulness of his claim to deity upon his resurrection. When his enemies asked him for a sign to prove it, his deity, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." After they buried his corpse in Joseph's tomb, what happened? Did the security measures that his enemies took to seal up the tomb keep his body bottled up there? Were the guards successful in keeping Jesus' body locked inside? No. Jesus raised himself as he said, passing right through the tomb's walls. When the angel came to roll away the big boulder, it wasn't to let Jesus out. He was already gone. He thereby proving, "I am no imposter. I am God's Son come from heaven to annihilate death for you." That's why we break forth in jubilant song also on this Easter day. We've got a living Redeemer. He's not like the founder of the Islam religion whose dust lies in a coffin in Mecca, or the founder of Buddhism whose partial remains, so it is said, lie enshrined in a golden urn on the Isle of Sri Lanka. He's not like the fraudster prophets of the many cult religions who claim to be true teachers of God, people like Joseph Smith or Charles Taz Russell, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who spoke make-believe ideas spun from their heads, whose bodies lie moldering. No, Jesus is the authentic prophet, the eternal Son of God. And he's not only the founder of the Christian religion, he's the very essence of the Christian religion. If Jesus hadn't been raised, our Christian faith would be futile. Our Easter celebration would be a sham. But it's not. Our faith in Christ is solidly grounded, for we know that our Redeemer lives, the Almighty Son of God. Let's also consider a third golden Easter truth. Our sins are forgiven. He's the Son of God. And the third one, Christ's resurrection empowers us now for victorious Christian living. Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. After the risen Savior appeared to Paul on the Damascus road, he became a changed person. He no longer tried to pursue the road to heaven by his own works and doings, which would have been a dead end. He no longer sought to persecute Christ and Christians, but share the gospel of good news. He no longer lived an empty life that didn't have any purpose. He lived and loved and served Jesus, triumphing in him over every earthly pain, worry, sadness. Not that Paul's life did not experience pain and sadness. In fact, he probably ran into more troubles than we'll probably ever face along our life path. But in Christ, he triumphed over them. He confessed, "I know that the sufferings of this present life aren't worthy to be compared with the glory to be revealed in us. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen lasts forever." Friends, I'm sure most of us can identify with the Apostle Paul or with those forlorn, teary-eyed women who trudged out to the tomb in the early purple dawning of Easter. There may be worries weighing on your heart right now, maybe hidden beneath the smiles of our faces on this Easter. We may be feeling various burdens, things like failing health, slipping strength, family tensions, tensions at work, or fill in the blank. What does the Savior make happen as he sets before our mind's eye the glorious message of Easter? He lifts our hearts, lightens our loads, and dispels our worries, because we know that the same risen Redeemer who told the women at the empty tomb that he would go before his disciples to Galilee where they would see him is the same risen Jesus who is with us always to guide us and to provide for us, and whom we will one day see as well. Another reason for us to break forth jubilant song on this Easter day. He enables us to rise above our life circumstances and to live victorious Christian lives, triumphing over pain and sadness. One of our favorite Easter hymns, we love to sing it. He assures us, "He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart." Finally, let's note, Christ's resurrection is the guarantee that we're going to rise too. You know, it's for centuries men have asked the question that the Old Testament patriarch Job once asked. If a man dies, shall he live again? It's an old question, but very relevant for all of us living right now. Because despite all the advances in medical technology which have increased people's average lifespan from what it once was, fact remains, no denying, modern technology can delay death. Modern meds can make it less painful, but no getting around it unless Jesus returns in our lifetimes. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, "The length of our days is 70 or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." And Paul wrote in Romans that just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. The answer to that question of Job, if a man dies, shall he live again, is never going to be discovered in a science lab or by musings of worldly philosophers, certainly not in claims made by fraudster prophets, but it is found, praise the Lord, in the person of the risen Christ. He's given an emphatic answer to that question about living again after dying when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. St. Paul wrote, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive, but each one in his order, Christ the first fruits, and then afterward, those who are his at his coming. You all know what first fruits are, right? They're the first crop of vegetables gathered in from a garden plot, first batch of potatoes or tomatoes or corn, which tell us they're a harbinger that more is coming later on. So too, Jesus, Paul writes, is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in him. He was the first to be raised from a grave plot, never to die again. And he's promised, because I live, you will live also. Truly, cause for jubilation on this Easter morning. Wouldn't you agree? So in view of these blessed Easter truths the Lord has assured us of for our soul's comfort, let us share them with others as God's angel directed the women at the tomb to go and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. Let us, as the Lord provides us with opportunity, share it with family and home devotions, fellow Christians here in public worship services through the year, with friends, neighbors, co-workers, as the Lord opens up doors for us to do that, and by our prayers and cheerful offerings that we give for God's kingdom work at our local church and in our wider church family of the Church of the Lutheran Confession. Let's pray that the Savior bless all our efforts as his ambassadors of the greatest story ever told. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We sing the next hymn. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to your abundant mercy have given us new birth into a new and living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You've transformed the night of doubt and sorrow into the new and eternal day of joy by the rolling of the stone from the door of the tomb. You've brought life and immortality to light by the glad tidings that Christ is truly risen, that death has no power over him. You've sent unto all who live in this world of darkness the joyous hope of an inheritance incorruptible and full of glory. O Lord, we thank and praise you that through Christ you've taken away from us the sting of death and have given us victory over the grave. Fill our hearts with the joy of the resurrection. Grant to your church and to people everywhere the power of an endless life, that they may show forth your praises. Bestow your grace upon our homes, bless them with Easter's consolation and hope. Send forth the conquering banner of Christ's victory everywhere, that people the world over may join the hosts of heaven in songs of triumph. Guard us, Lord, that by your power we may be kept in this holy faith. Wipe away all tears from our eyes. In every adversity or trial, preserve us so that we will always receive the blessing of Christ's ransom and the fruits of his resurrection. In the promise of Easter, take from us all fear of death. Always direct our hearts and minds to this promise that in Christ our frail, lowly bodies will be renewed and glorified like unto his. And when you call us to our heavenly rest, may we sleep peacefully in Jesus, awaiting the sound of the trumpet, when those who die in faith will rise to eternal glory. We ask all this in the name of our risen and ever-living Lord. Amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Standing for the closing hymn.